Final hours upon us on this Wednesday. Hope you are feeling right and living well. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us this afternoon. If you want to get us involved with the final hour of the show before we get out of here for a little while, 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045. That's how you can get involved. Now, before we pivot back to some Titans talk, I want to briefly hit on some justice that was finally delivered regarding this godforsaken college football playoff committee that did the right thing and finally, after far too many weeks, put Cincinnati into the top four. Now, I thought it was interesting that Ohio State leapfrogged both Alabama and Cincinnati on their way up. But one Georgia, again, two Ohio State, three Alabama, four Cincinnati. It is the only thing that makes sense. Alabama and this Iron Bowl this weekend are going to be critical, obviously. And, of course, Ohio State and Michigan will square off on rivalry week as well. I mean, Oregon tanked their chances that lost to Utah. You can toss them the hell out. There's not a lot of teams. I don't think anybody else. I mean, God help us if Notre Dame finds its way into the playoff for some freakish reason once again. I'm tired of Notre Dame. I'm just generally tired of Notre Dame and the overpromising and under-delivering once they actually get into the postseason this way. Now listen, they do it in ways that few other programs do with that kind of consistency. And maybe the same thing happens to Cincinnati. Maybe it's sacrificial lamb X, and this year's just happens to come from the AAC. But I'll tell you that this feels right for all the crap that they made us go through the first 3 weeks of this thing. One Georgia, two Ohio State, three Alabama, four Cincy.
Keep your eye on Oklahoma State.
10-1.
One loss playing Oklahoma Bedlam this weekend. That's two one-loss Big 12 teams going head-to-head. A one-loss Big 12 champion could get in over a one-loss Notre Dame.
Josh Pate brought Bedlam up yesterday when he joined us, and I thought that was a very well-made point by both you and him. So I think that there's going to be a lot of good – I mean, rivalry week is always great other than to say out loud. So I think we're all going to enjoy a lot of football this weekend as we get closer and closer to postseason time. 615-737-1045 is the number if you want to jump in. Will Compton will be here with us at 12:20, so about 14 minutes from now, and maybe we'll even talk some Nashville SC with him. He was at the game last night. Big win for the hometown team. Let's go to Darrington for the last time this week. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Buzz, man? I'm hoping and wishing safe travel to you.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoy your time in the great Foxborough. Don't chew on Brady's old mouthpiece while you're there.
I'll avoid it.
Quick point, just real quick. Offensively, do you think because AJ has not been AJ himself lately that there is no one player for Bill Belichick to take out? So, and being that the offense is kind of like all over the place, that this kind of plays in the Titans' hands? And then for defense, do you think this almost is like the Houston game minus a mobile quarterback? So it's going to be based more off of just tackling. And then my final point, dumbest thing in sports this week, kind of last week was Isaiah Stewart. You charged the king. What was you thinking? Like literally, what was you thinking?
The way that LeBron looked at him like, I make too much money to fight with you right now. That was among my favorite things in sports this weekend. Thank you for the call, Darrington, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, buddy. I hope you guys have a safe and happy holiday. LeBron Isaiah Stewart thing was laugh out loud funny with what the internet. The eye injury itself looked horrific. I couldn't look at the pictures of him looking basically like he got his, I think it was his left eyeball gouged.
It was a cheap shot.
LeBron deserved the suspension. It's the first time he's been suspended in his career, which had to hurt Adam Silver because he's already struggling to get people to watch his games. And the Lakers are a catastrophe playing in the crypto.com arena instead of the Staples Center. It's all a nightmare. It's all an unholy mess. But so I think he brings up a good point about the Titans offense, because what do they do well enough to take away right now? Now, I mean, the answer to that question is you can bully this offensive line. I think that there have been stretches. I thought they did well to hold up against pressure. The starting five, so that's Aaron Brewer in for Nate Davis. Nate Davis, quantifiably, I was reading this article in The Athletic. He's been the second worst guard in football this season by the way that they grade offensive line play. I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough about the techniques that offensive linemen employ. I can only look at who's sacking the quarterback and who looked like they gave up the pressure. And then I have Greg Cosell after the fact tell me why I'm right or wrong on the matter. But what I'll say about it is that Nate Davis has not been good. In fact, he's been quite bad. And of course you wish him luck with trying to get his health correct, specifically given that it's been two concussions now in 3 weeks. And that is a very, very shaky, that's very shaky ground to be on. But Aaron Brewer has been the superior option when he has seen time. So if that's how you have to roll moving forward, I think that will give you as best a chance as humanly possible to keep consistent offensive line play. You hate it for Nate Davis. It's not like Nate Davis has done anything wrong, but he just hasn't been very good this year. And coupled with the fact that he can't stay out there consistently, I think that it's time to explore kind of going with that front five that you have. Because against Houston is about as good as they've looked. Houston's not great. Their best pass rusher, they traded away at the deadline, Charles Omenihue, who now plays for the San Francisco 49ers. But I think that this front against the Titans offensive line, I think that's what concerns you, right? Because you don't want to see Tannehill getting strip sacked again like he was at the start of the season by multiple teams, by the way, not just the Arizona Cardinals. You don't want to see a quarterback consistently under fire when he's already working with a mash unit as far as his skill positions are concerned. You don't want to see that happen because it's only going to force him into making mistakes. And you have to play as close to mistake-free football as humanly possible because you know the offense on the other side is going to do that. There's just too much. There's just too much at stake for them, for Bill Belichick and this defense that they have, to not tee off on a quarterback who's struggling at this point, whether it be by his own play or because of what is around him is lacking so far. I'm not excited to make this trip because the trip itself is kind of a pain. But the game, once we get to Foxborough in the frozen north, and Mike Giardi saying that I'm going to have a 97% chance of hating this trip, once we get there, and I've done my complaining for the day, I think this game is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Super competitive. I don't know if you're going to like what comes out on the other side, but I don't know that. And I don't think really anybody at this point in the season knows that either. When we come back, we'll talk to a man who thinks he knows everything. Knows precious little. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys will be our guest on the other side. We'll talk about this Titans team and what he witnessed at Nissan Stadium last night. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. All right, as we await Will Compton for his regularly scheduled appearance, make fun of his Nebraska Cornhuskers as the best 3-win team in college football. We were talking a little bit about the college football playoff rankings, and the chat has broken out in great debate because of Alabama, a one-loss team, well, two one-loss teams in the top four at this point, with Georgia and Cincinnati flanking Ohio State and Alabama on either side, and it started a conversation about just how secure Alabama actually is. And frankly, there's no real telling. But we'll go to your phone calls on this as we await Will. Let's go to Trey in Nashville, who's up first. What's going on, Trey?
Hey, what's going on, Buck?
What you got for me, boss?
Hey, all right, so everybody got what they wanted, right?
Yeah.
Everybody been crying and complaining about Cincinnati not being in the top four, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how are people going to like when they get catch that beat down in the playoffs?
Oh, I'm going to hate it. I'm going
to
be miserable.
Huh?
I'm going to hate it. I'm going to be miserable. They're going to get smoked.
And then what the coach is going to say? Well, we just didn't have it today. No, you didn't have it all year.
Well, hear me out, Trey, all right? Because I appreciate where you're coming from. And you're right. They're going to get in, and they're probably going to get rolled. But if they do not if they win all of their games and they do not make the Final Four, then you are, in effect, as the committee, telling a college football program it doesn't matter how many games you win. You cannot have a template for the playoff that exists that straight up that just excludes you from being a participant if you do everything within your power humanly possible to get into the postseason picture, and the powers who are going to get the benefit of the doubt over you, the one-loss Alabama, the one-loss Ohio States of the world, you cannot allow them to just go off eye test when there's clearly an undefeated football team that has made as good a case as any to get into the postseason. 615-737-1045 is the number if you want to jump in. That's been my big, that's the only reason I'm banging the table for Cincinnati. I don't care about Cincinnati football. I have no great love. I mean, Luke Fickle seems like a good coach. I'm happy for Luke Fickle. I know he was in Mike Vrabel's wedding. I'm pretty sure Luke Fickle was Mike Vrabel's best man, if I remember correctly. Regardless, like I don't care what necessarily happens to Cincinnati. And I'm going to hate watching them when they just get blowed out by Georgia or whomever ends up being the top seed, right? I think it's safe to say that Georgia is going to remain or retain their grip on that post at this point. But I cannot live in a world where you're just being told flat out, yeah, you can win all your games, and I don't care. You're not getting in to our party. It can't work like that. And even if Cincinnati doesn't finish in the top four, they've made enough of a case to belong there to this point in the season. And that's all you can have at this point. Oh, Scott and Fort Campbell just dropped off. I was going to go to him next. Oh, William's here. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll divert our attention there. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys. They did you all a solid if you're subscribers, and if you're not, I would ask you why you aren't listening to Bussin' with the Boys. They dropped a podcast yesterday with Michael Chandler. It's available to you now. Hello, Will.
Buck, what is up, bro? Good afternoon. Happy Thanksgiving. It's good to see your face.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. We had a great sponsor of the show bring me a pumpkin pie in studio, but I haven't eaten any of it, and I will not eat any of it because I'm not going to experience that kind of shame from you on the Lord's Day of Thanksgiving.
Pumpkin pie's overrated.
Oh, you suck. I'm not going to have a food debate with you right now. So we're just talking about the college football playoff because I've been banging the table for Cincinnati. I know with as a fan of the greatest three-win team in the country, perhaps you have not been paying attention to the college football playoff selection committee, but do you care about that as somebody who is invested in college football, or are you just watching your team at this point?
I watch a little bit of all of it, dude. I see what's happening. But, yeah, Nebraska right now, we are the best three-win team in the country, arguably of all time, sure, the way the stats are coming out. I am willing to risk that title to beat Iowa this week, so who knows if we're going to jump to four or not. But as far as Cincinnati, look, man, what an easy schedule they've had.
Oh!
What an easy schedule that they've had. Like, I commend them. Yes, they're undefeated. This is what sucks, man. You finally go from a national championship to a four-team playoff system, and now it's like, you know, you want to see six or eight now because there's other teams that are vying for that number four spot that I think are a lot better than Cincinnati because I personally don't think Cincinnati's that good.
And that may be all well and good, Will, but I can't let the playoff committee get away with the idea that Cincinnati can win all of its games and not make the college football playoff. You can't just, if that happened to Nebraska, you'd lose your mind if they just told you didn't play a hard enough schedule.
It wouldn't though, Buck. We're a power five. Like we're in the Big Ten.
They schedule. Okay. But you know, the way that college football scheduling works,
it would never happen in Nebraska.
You know, the way that college football scheduling works, you've been around this long enough to understand that they schedule these games 4 and 5 years in advance. Like when Cincinnati put Notre Dame on the schedule, Notre Dame was a legitimately tough opponent. They look a bit fraudulent this year, but I'm not mad at Cincinnati because they beat up a bad Notre Dame team 4 years after they scheduled them.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but at the same time, like, that's one team. That's Notre Dame. And, yeah, Notre Dame's a little suspect. Notre Dame's also a good team, but, yeah, they've had a schedule that's not, like, that tough. They're independent. They're all this stuff. Again, like, look at what Ohio State is doing to teams. Look at their offense. Michigan's been playing their tails off. Not to just cling to Big Ten teams, but it's just they're not really beating anybody that tough. They were early in the year because it looked like Notre Dame and these teams were going to be good. But when you're beating Tulsa by 8 points, when you're, you know, when you're putting up points like this, beating Navy by 7 points, it's just not like – it's not convincing that Cincinnati deserves to be in a bracket with Alabama, Georgia, and who's the other one?
Ohio State.
Ohio State, yeah.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just I'm on principle.
I guess my fault. Earlier I was talking like Ohio State was out of it. But yeah, Michigan and these other one-loss teams that are on the outside looking in.
Right. What's your bet with George Kittle this weekend? Nebraska-Iowa. Do you have a bet yet?
We've spoken briefly, but we haven't gotten to that point. I'm trying to see what I might be able to finagle out of him. Last year was a video, and I had to get on camera and talk about Iowa and everything else. And we got to see, man. Adrian Martinez is out. It's so, like.
Ah, the excuses.
It's exhausting. Buck, this is me venting about it being exhausting because we've competed with every top 10 team, and it's just so exhausting that we're a good team that just doesn't get lucky.
Listen, football is the worst that way, particularly in college football.
Buck, we don't get the calls. There's a pass interference last week.
All right, I saw the pass interference. It was an egregious pass interference, but that's like one example of many, many other opportunities that Nebraska has had to do better than a 3-win season. I will not have you blame the entire season on a DPI. That's trash. Will Compton. I'm bussing with the boys here.
I blame it on special teams and referees. That's what I'm blaming it on.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's always – I mean, listen, it often is the ref's fault, so I'll go with you.
Well, go check the tape. Go check the tape and you'll be like, this is an example. It's like everybody in prison, they're innocent, right? Well, there's a few out there. There's a few Shawshank Redemptions out there, and Nebraska's one of them.
Just crawling through sewage pipes to try and get to the other side of the Big Ten. 3 yards and a cloud of dust. I love it. Will Compton, a bussing with the boys. Here with us on 104.5 The Zone. So the podcast this week has Mike Chandler, but I know you guys are running a Black Friday special that perhaps you'd like to promote.
Yes, we are. 20% off everything. I'm actually, people are watching right now, they can see this beautiful hat that I know Buck Rising already wants. Everything will be 20% off. We're doing a collab with Mike, with Chug Buds. We're giving away stuff, tickets, jerseys, a chance to sit in on the bus for a podcast. We're doing a lot of cool stuff. The video shout outs are back. Everything is back, dude. We're going full force, full court press, 20% off everything, the entire store. There's going to be there's opportunities to win a lot of stuff. So it's going to be really cool. And that's going all weekend long. Thursday starting at midnight, all the way to the end of Cyber Monday at midnight. So like I said, it's going to be a lot of cool stuff that we're giving away, potentially Super Bowl tickets. Who knows?
Well,
you'll see.
If they get Super Bowl tickets, they can hang out. You want to go to the Super Bowl with me this year? I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Is that an official invite? Do you really want to? Are you trying to host me for a Super Bowl invite?
I'll think about it. We'll get back. We'll work out the logistics at a later date. This is something
I think it'd be a smart move. I think it'd be a good move.
I don't think it'd be the worst move, but then there's also a ton of headache that comes with that. And also, it's Valentine's Day weekend. That weekend, and both of us are in committed relationships that may not go well for us, but we can talk about that at a later date. So you infiltrated the Titans press conference this week. You tweeted me, you tweeted Jim Wyatt, you tweeted Teron Davenport. You requested that we ask a question of Mike Vrabel as to why the hell he's out there in the rain without a hat, without a poncho, with nothing, just letting the entirety of it wash upon him. And so you tweeted us and asked, what war movie gave Mike Vrabel the inspiration to stand out there in the cold and the wet like that? And this is what the head coach had to say.
No war movie. You guys should have Will come here and he can ask his own questions. we have to do a better job in the elements. We do, you know, and it was unfortunate. And we thought that.
Yeah, I don't need the rest of the answer because he starts giving me.
We don't need the rest of the company line stuff, dude. We know how that show goes. He's a master. He's a 5-star press conference coach who turned it around, neglected it, took the straight bullet and kept it moving, talking about the team. Typical Mike Vrabel, dude.
You can't get a credential to come to these things, can you? Because I'd rather have you there than
know.
At the Super
I don't
Bowl.
Know. I kind of want to now. When he said that, I would love to go there and ask a couple questions. Even, you know, let him try to say a couple jokes, dude. I would love to ask Coach Vrabel questions after a game, especially like the ones of what war movie inspired you. Because my man was. I'm watching on TV. My man's just standing there. No, like you said, no hat, no poncho, no jacket, no nothing. And not only that, but it's not like he's not even wiping his face. He's not like getting the wetness off of his face or hair. My man's just taking it like he's in Black Hawk Down.
He would never admit this publicly, and he would probably cuss us both out if he heard us having this discussion.
And I know what you're going to say, and I agree with you.
But
this
man knows exactly when he's on camera. Mike Vrabel knows that the camera's on him, and I love him for it. Lean into it, Mike. That's the way you got to be.
Yes, dude. He doesn't need any inspiration. He's self-motivated. The guy embraces the rain, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And, you know, as long as we know, Buck, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, he knows, too. He's just not going to give us.
Yeah, but you're right, though. He would never admit it.
Never, ever, ever. So that's our next goal. We're going to try and accomplish getting Will Compton into a Titans press conference for us so we can ask questions.
Suit it up. Get some glasses on. Get suited up.
No, you can't outdress me at my own game. Then I'm going to hate you. Then you can't come to these things anymore.
Come with a notepad and a recorder.
you pull a Jim White. You put the mechanical pencil in the behind your ear and a visor. You'd kill it.
Yes, man. Let's do it. I'm down. All Mike, right. Thoughts on the game?
So let's do that. Let's role play, shall we? What one question would you ask Mike Vrabel heading to New England this weekend?
Oh, I don't know, man. I would need some time to think about it. You can't just put me on the spot. You guys get to prepare. I would need time to prepare.
That is such trash. That is such a cop-out. Such a cop-out. How many of us do you think are actually preparing questions or aren't just asking things that come to the top of our minds? That's probably why our press conference questions suck.
I would try and gaslight him a little bit and try and, you know, get a little chirp out of him on Belichick is what I would try to do. Like, if you guys were in a room, you know, you guys are playing against each other. If you had a couple things to say to him as an opponent, what would it be? And then whatever he said, I would do my best to try and corner something to where we can agree or disagree or get a laugh out of him.
So is it fair to say,
and, you know, say something like that.
So is it fair to say that you hate Bill Belichick and you would kill him with your bare hands if you had the opportunity, Mike? Can we get you on the record?
Yeah. Is it fair to say you want to fight people that call you Baby Belichick? And if so, why do you hate that nickname?
Well, he can't fight Diana Rossini. That would be problematic. But, yes, there is probably some stuff there. I'm not a mini anyone, he said to her. That's such a great line by Mike. Anyway, Will Compton busting with the boys here with us.
Maybe just say that to him.
Just call him Baby Belichick?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Mike Belichick on game planning this weekend. Just lean into it.
I'd rather call him Mike Belichick than Baby Belichick and have him choke slam me.
No doubt. You got to start with a medium ground one. You know what I'm saying? Before you get fully involved and into character with the Baby Belichick.
Oh, my God. So, I mean, I listened to the podcast this week. First and foremost, you have to get your cronies, Jack and Garrett and the rest of the crew, you have to get them a better microphone. I can't listen to them muttering in the background, muffled in terms that you cannot understand the analysis that they're trying to bring to the podcast. But you did have Mike Chandler on this week, and I know Mike is in the professional cockfighting business, basically, with what he does for a living. People who earn their money by beating the holy hell out of another man is not something that I could ever find myself, and I think few people could find themselves doing. But what is it about Mike that kind of, I mean, I don't think inspires you is too far of terms to use. I think that Mike Chandler is a legitimately inspirational person.
100%. The dude, his perspective on just absolutely everything, the way he's able to zoom out and see the big picture. And not only zoom out and see the big picture, but see it so quickly, especially in the world that he's in. You get beat to hell and you end up not getting your hand raised, and to go through all the variables that he goes through just to be happy for the next opponent for the opponent standing next to him. The stuff he says in that episode, it's admirable. And it's just like, you know, how do I have this mindset and, you know, not be angry all the time versus what Mike Chandler is able to do. But the perspective he has on life and in fighting and what he's gotten from being a blue collar kid growing up in good old Missouri. It's awesome, man. I love sitting and talking with Mike. He's the best. He's able to grab quotes and analogies and just regurgitate them at will.
We have a little bit of breaking news in the middle of our interview with Will Compton. The Titans have just announced that they placed quarterback Logan Woodside on the reserve COVID list. This is about 5 minutes removed from Ryan Tannehill speaking to the media. And Tannehill, of course, is vaccinated, for the audience who does not know that. So they will go through the process of close contacts. And we'll see, hopefully, this thing does not spread any further than that. And we hope that Logan Woodside is recovering okay and is not dealing with anything that is substantial. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys here with us on 104.5 The Zone. So, they lose to the Jets. I am leading the charge for the world ending. They lose to the Texans, and I'm trying to tell everybody to take a deep breath and relax. Why does the Texans' loss not feel as bad as the Jets' one?
Dude, when you put that poll up and I saw a lopsided Texans vote over Jets, it's just funny and a prime example of the volatile fair weatherness of fans at times. Because the reason you don't need to worry about the Texans loss as much outside of elements and other stuff that are very obvious. I mean, look, the boys are still finding their identity without Derrick Henry. They had 5 turnovers and were still in the ball game. I saw another stat, and I want to say it was from your boy. I forget his name, but you can shout him out whenever I say the stat. But I want to say I saw a stat on Twitter from your boy, and it was like the last 6 possessions, they had a total of 7 yards and no first downs.
Yeah.
And then I saw another, and shout out your boy. Who was it? Who was
Austin Stanley of A to Z Sports.
Yeah, I think we've went toes a couple times. Not toes, but just threw shots in the universe.
Yeah, you're now one of these petty high schoolers that's involved in media squabbles. So congratulations to
you.
Yeah,
yeah. No, not squabbles. I'm just saying I saw – you might have been the one who retweeted it. And then I saw another one that said out of, you know, off of the turnovers, they scored – how many total points did the Texans score? 22
total points, 13 off turnovers.
Exactly, 13 off turnovers. And from the ones that they've earned, they gained what, a total of a yard?
1 yard.
Just everyone just loses their mind, and I understand because we've been in this haze of, are we at the record yet with these 80-something injuries? We've had 80-something injuries.
Golden Tate being on the roster, and he's probably going to dress out. That's going to put him over the edge.
They broke the record with injuries. They've been battling injuries all year long. You lose the best running back in the league, who it's hilarious watching Jonathan Taylor get MVP cries now when Derrick Henry's out of the league for the moment. But Derrick Henry being on IR, like, the boys are finding creative ways to win these last few weeks. But to be 8-3 and have 5 turnovers in the NFL and still be in a game versus an NFL team, who cares if they're 1-8? Versus an NFL team, because obviously we lost to the Jets, Jaguars to beat the Bills out there. Like, stuff happens any given Sunday. It just shows and speaks to the volumes of the volatility with the fans at times, because this isn't even close to coming off of a loss of the New York Jets, especially early on in the year when everybody wanted everyone to be fired in that building.
It is funny to see the way that things just kind of spiral so badly that I had somebody send me a message yesterday, Will, that said, "Hear me out. Who knows the routes? Put Ryan Tannehill, misspelled, as wide receiver and bring in backup quarterback." Well, you know what? Daniel, John, Kirtley, they can't because the backup's on the COVID list. So everybody shut the hell up.
What's crazy is you talk about stoolies and you got your people that come out of the woodwork and just say the craziest stuff. And then you got the phone callers that call in. I'm sure they were ticked off about the Texans loss more than the Jets.
Oh, buddy,
a prime example of what your fan base represents, Buck.
Buddy, my lines are loaded right now. I'm not going to put you through that particular kind of hell again. But that is Will Compton. He's presented by All American Pest Control. Plans as low as $39 a month. Visit yuckbugs.com. Buddy, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your holiday. I'm sure we'll see each other at some point in the near future. And thanks for the time.
Buck, Lucas, happy Thanksgiving, boys. I appreciate you both. Lucas, I know we just met not too long ago, but Buck, I'm thankful for our friendship, thankful for our growth, thankful for all the jokes, man. And I truly mean that, even though I'm a very big of a jokester. And everybody listening, you need to tell your people that you look at this weekend that you appreciate them and you are grateful for them, because you never know what can happen. But thanks a lot for having me on, Buck. I love you. And again, I appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there.
I love you too. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Will come.
Ooh, let's go.
Bussin' with the Boys. New episode available now on the podcast page or wherever it is you get your favorite podcast. Check them out. Squeeze the last phone call of the weekend, I guess, and then we'll do some polls. Let's go to Tony up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how you doing today, Buck?
I'm great.
Honored to have the last call of the week. I wanted to kind of bite off that top four that you were talking about and something that you had said earlier about Cincinnati getting in and the committee having, I would say, a little bit of a, like they're undefeated, so we've got to give them an opportunity. Not sure if you're aware. I don't know how deep you dig into the college sports rankings, but the University of Texas San Antonio is also undefeated. They're ranked 23rd in the nation. The difference between these two teams for me, Buck, is that Cincinnati has a signature win. They beat Notre Dame earlier in the year. Notre Dame has turned out to be a pretty decent team who is still somewhat in the playoff talk. So sure. For me, the winner, the four teams for me is going to come down to, obviously, Alabama or Georgia. If Alabama loses to Auburn this week, I just don't see a way for them to get in. They would have to beat Georgia in the SEC championship, even if they got there. And the Oklahoma-Ohio State game, I think, is something to really watch this week, because if Cincinnati gets beat this week, in which I think they're only a 10-point favorite, you could very easily see one of those pop in. So right now, it's Georgia for me, and then I've got the winner of the Michigan-Ohio State game. I'm keeping Cincinnati in there. I think they make it. And then that fourth spot, I mean, is up for grabs for me. So I'm taking Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, and I'm going to put Notre Dame in there just because.
Look at Tony sliding the Michigan upset in there. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. I don't know if Michigan upsets Ohio State. Ohio State is playing just an overwhelming level of football right now. They're killing people. And I was aware that UTSA, the mighty Roadrunners, are undefeated at this point. So to your point, Tony, I don't dive all that deep, especially during the NFL season, but I do pay attention to who is undefeated because, I mean, we just went through this not that long ago with UCF was the self-proclaimed national champions. That was Scott Frost, I think, coaching at the time. So, yeah, I pay a lot closer attention to the mid-major programs than I used to. We'll wrap the week up. Polls are next. Normally we do this on Fridays, Sunday service choir, but it's the end of the week. We're going to be back at it with you on Monday, which means that you, in the meantime, need to stay safe, enjoy yourselves, enjoy your family, your food, your friends, your loved ones, maybe even some football. Even though every team that is playing on Thanksgiving, by the way, lost this last week, so there's not a single game that looks all that appealing on Thanksgiving. Neither here nor there. We just want to say thank you. We're thankful for you, and we hope that we make your week a little easier to get through from time to time. I am told that there was a big soccer game last night. I forgot to ask our Nashville SC correspondent, Will Compton, who was in attendance at last night.
Yeah, I rebuked that in the name of Jesus.
Settle down back there, all right? You're going to get your minute. The timer starts in 5 seconds. The Panzeca Nashville SC minute begins now.
Nashville's got a contender in this club. If they take a performance like that, foot on the gas for 90 minutes, a 3-1 win over Orlando City, if they take that into Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference semifinals and moving forward, there can be a strong push for an MLS Cup in only year two of its existence in MLS. Look, this team, if anybody's looking for a reason, this team has a finalist for goalkeeper of the year in Joe Willis, a finalist for MLS defender of the year, Walker Zimmerman, who won that award last year, can go back to back and has become a fixture in the U.S. men's national team. and as a finalist for the MVP award in Hani Mukhtar, who leads the league in goals and assists combined and only added to that with two goals yesterday against Orlando City. Nashville has got a contender in its city. Right now, it's two wins away from an MLS Cup final Sunday, a 4:30 kickoff against Philadelphia Union. This team has a fun style of play. They have bona fide stars. Check it out on Sunday.
Oh, on the second. This man is professional.
It's almost like I'm good at it.
Relax. Do the polls.
Stop the count. Stop the count. The polls have closed and the votes have been tallied. Now, here's your favorite Buck Rising Show correspondent, Lucas Polzica.
What is the dumbest thing in sports this week? Many say it's Jonathan Taylor getting the MVP love when Derrick Henry never got a sniff this year or last year. Hibbs says it's overreacting to a loss when half the team is looking like this, which looks like infirmary of some sorts.
Many, many people are saying this, that Jonathan Taylor has no business being in the MVP conversation, and you know what? I'm one of them.
Rocky Topic says Texas and Texas A&M not playing each other is the dumbest thing in sports this week. I do miss that rivalry.
That would be a fun game, but there's plenty more rivalry week games on the slate, and I'm just very happy that that's the last time I'm going to say that word.
Who do you feel better about covering this weekend? Titans plus 6.5 or Vols minus 31? 62% say Titans.
Yeah, I think that's the right line. 31 is just too many points, even against Vanderbilt. I think that Tennessee is going to struggle to cover that. I don't know if I'm going to bet a lot of money on Vandy, but I'm going to bet money on Vandy this weekend.
Who should be the Titans' lead back, Dontrell Hilliard or Deontay Foreman? 63% say Foreman, 37% say Hilliard, who was just signed to the active roster.
I would say to you that Hilliard, you know, the fumble, I don't know how much they hold that against him. I just think they need to pick one and stick with it for the majority of the carries and not get too cute with how they're trying to do this by committee. It doesn't make any sense.
Who will end up having a more productive season for the Titans? Adrian Peterson, who of course was waived yesterday, or Golden Tate, who was just signed? 88% say Golden Tate. Lebowski says, where's the neither option? Our friend Zeebo at Football and Other F-Words wants you to define productive.
That they last longer than 3 weeks, which was the case for Adrian Peterson.
Should you give anyone in sports a 10-year deal? 89% say no.
Who got a 10-year deal? Oh, James Franklin. We didn't even talk about that. James Franklin got a 10-year deal at Penn State, and I know that that doesn't mean a lot in college where Dan Mullen's getting a 3-year extension and getting fired the same season, but I don't know that anybody, even where the extension is not worth the paper necessarily that it's written on in that sport, I don't think anybody's worth a 10-year contract.
John Gruden got a 10-year deal when he was rehired as the coach of the Raiders.
Yeah, you know what? Turns out not worth it. Turns out all you have to do is dig through his @WashingtonFootballTeam.com email to figure out that you shouldn't have done that.
Chris Vanini of The Athletic laid this out, along with James Franklin's 10-year contract. Jimbo Fisher got a 10-year deal at Texas A&M. Jeff Traylor, a 10-year contract at UTSA, which, as Tony points out, they are undefeated. And Mel Tucker reportedly being offered a 10-year contract at Michigan State.
I mean, it's college, right? I know there was a hockey player that got a 10-year contract this year. I'm not smart enough about that sport to know. It's not Austin Matthews. I don't know.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Let me not expose my knowledge because it's the end of the show. It's the end of the week. We'll talk to you on Monday live from New England. Blaine and Mickey up next.